Good morning. Good morning.
So we'll pray and then we will get on with things. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for these folks that came out this morning. Those who are watching by webcam, may we honor you by preaching thy word. Keep me from saying what I shouldn't say and help me with that which I should. That someone here may be brought closer to you. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior or watching by webcam, that today will be the day that they understand that you died for them and would have done that had they been the only sinner, not just one of billions. Thank you for your mercy, your kindness, and your goodness. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You all remember little Frankie and Bradley. Frankie called last night and he just got out of Duke. He's a candidate for a couple of lungs he has to have, and he's very weak, and they hope he's eligible to get it. So here he wrote us a letter last week. I want to read it to you. He said, "Hey, Ann, I wanted to apologize for not calling back. I got Beaver's message and haven't had much of a chance to talk. I'm at Duke right now at a motel across the street from the hospital. My first test was a lung performance test, or PFT for short. I did okay with the test, but I stressed my airways and throat to the point I brought up some blood afterward. Then I realized I had no voice. I've done this a few times before, so it's no big deal. But just to make matters worse, today I had a catheter run down my nose into my stomach twice, and the catheter that's in me now should come out tomorrow. So I'm guessing the doctor likes me better speechless. I wonder why. My trip here has had a silver lining. About an hour before my PFTs and before I lost my voice, I sat next to an older man in a waiting room named Jimmy. It was his first time here at Duke. Since I've been coming for a few years now, I knew exactly how he felt starting down this road. I started ministering to him by sharing my testimony and using my favorite verse. In return, he shared his testimony with me. When I started talking with him, he was pretty stressed out and overwhelmed by the transplant clinic. Within an hour of waiting and talking, he got the boost in faith he needed to start the week off on a good foot. Now, within the hour, I ministered to him. I forgot all about my own issues. I thought it was just so odd that out of 30 people to sit next to, God reserved a seat for me next to the one person that needed some encouragement. I asked God to help me get through the week, and God worked in a way I never saw coming. Even though right now I feel pretty rough, I know I have a lot of people praying for me, and God's giving me the strength to carry on. Plus, I'm so blessed to have Mom with me. Every time I start feeling bad, she reminds me of the big picture of having new lungs and not having to be sick all the time. I can't thank you and Beaver enough for being there for me and for thinking of me and the church for keeping me in their prayers. I'm truly grateful. I'll stay in touch, and as soon as I can get this catheter out of me, I'll give you a call." So he called last night, and he's able to talk and sounds wonderful. And Frankie is how old now? 25. I thought Bradley, what, 20? 23, isn't that something? And Bradley, if you weren't here years ago, Ann found Bradley at the flea market. They came up to buy something from her. And a little boy, he didn't have any arms. He has what he calls nubs at the elbows, and he doesn't have any legs. He's got nubs where he was born without legs down to his knees. His tongue was stuck to his roof. He couldn't talk. They had him... what was it, 3 days they were going to send him to Virginia? The doctors had him three days they were going to send him to Virginia to be put in a basket and die. And the Lord sent Miss Wise by, and she said, "No, we're not going to do that." And so she wanted to keep Bradley. She's officially his grandmother. Those who tell you drugs don't hurt, Bradley's mother was on drugs, and that's why he has to go through what he went through. And so little Bradley came down, and he's with us, and he can say a few words. I guess his mental level is, well, maybe second grade, first grade. And but he'll remember and talk to you the best he can. And I ask I asked Frankie last night. I said, Frankie, how's Bradley doing? He said, oh, that rascal, he's in the other thing and watching television. He's got his nub. He can hit the thing and change his own stations now. So we have to watch what he watches. I said, you know that little rascal hustles us, don't you? He's hustling us all. He knows he's got us. We'll give him anything, do anything we can for him, and he knows it. And I said, does he remember me? He said, Beaver, he wakes up every morning and won't know where you are. And he doesn't call me Beaver. He can't say Beaver. He calls me Eaver. And I'll see him say, hey, Bradley, Eaver. And I said, come here, boy. And he can outrun your dog on fours. He can't walk. And a little bit, but he'll outrun your dog on all fours and climb the furniture, and you have to love Bradley. And that little boy's illness and what physical ailments has led more people to an invitation to Jesus Christ than anybody in Winston-Salem. Because you can't help but notice him if he's on the elevator or whatever. This, there he is, and grown men will look at him and stop and cry. I said, man, how fortunate I am, and didn't even know it. And they'll ask his mother, what's the problem with little Bradley? And she'll tell him, and she'll say, Bradley, the man wants to know where Jesus lives. And Bradley will take his nub and say, and they want to go to their knees. Well, I'm telling you the truth. Then Miss Wise is a witness to them. So Bradley will be all right on earth here for a little while till Jesus comes, and then he'll outrun you in heaven. But what a miraculous thing for Frankie and Bradley, and they're part of us. When Frankie said he's witnessing to people and giving them the favorite verse, understand this kid, he has more problems than Bradley. His esophagus is upside down. He needs two lungs. What else is wrong with him?
Cystic fibrosis.
And I mean, he's in worse physical condition, if a doctor checks him, than Bradley ever had time to be. And he's still out witnessing to people. And that's what we're talking to you about. Those of you who know about our silver dollars, we have those for you. We've got some on the back table. Joe Mullins, my friend from Hickory, is a Bible smuggler. Joe sent us another 1,000 or so, I guess. Huh? There's a big box full. And what you do, you take these and you give them out. And you say, well, I don't know enough about the Bible to witness, but I know all the excuses, okay? I used to use them myself. This is the easiest thing in the world to do. On one side, it just says, where will you spend eternity? On the other side, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave us, okay? And the easiest way in the world to give it out, I gave several out yesterday. I said, excuse me, sir, I want to give you something. It's the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life. And it's right here on this coin, and we'll give that to you. And if you don't know the answer's on the back. And we just hope to see you sometime. Have a good day. You don't have to get in an argument. Don't have to do anything. I mean, an atheist can't get mad at that. And even if they throw it at him, it don't weigh much. It won't hurt you if he throws it at you. And, but if you will, learn how to do that. And let's give a couple of hundred away till they hate to see us coming. Till when they see us coming, they know somebody's going to fall from one of these. Because what that does, that puts that question in a man's mind. And I promise you, the older he gets, the more he already remembers and thinks of where will I spend eternity? What's next is what the world calls it. And they all want to know. And a lot of them do know, but they're not going, as we'll study this morning, they're not going to admit to it, you see. The gospel isn't new. It's been around for a couple of thousand years. You can get saved in South Carolina in a traffic jam just watching bumper stickers, right? We got more gospel on the back of cars than most people do in their churches. And so, but a personal recommendation to somebody, so just let me ask you a question. Just smile, be happy. Let me give you one of these. It's the greatest question you'll ever have to answer. Boom. And hand it to them. See? And they'll take it. And I used to sell. I used to have to know to get in a home. You had 30 seconds to get in a home or not. you know, and we learned early on, take a pencil and stick it up his nose. He'll either take it. So if you want to learn that, you'll practice some and you'll be nice and all. But when you learn to hand it to them where if they don't take it, it goes up their nose, I promise they'll take it. And it just says, where will you spend eternity? You don't have to start a conversation. If they respond nicely and say, well, that's interesting. Say, well, I'm from the Church of the Lost and Found at the end of the street at Ocean Drive. Won't you visit with us one time? Or if you want to know more about that, why don't you come and listen? No, it doesn't cost you anything. We don't expect anything of you. Just come and listen, because we'll give you the answer to that problem. Isn't that wonderful? And walk off. Because they already want to know, I promise you, that the lost person in the world doesn't go to sleep at night saying, I wonder what happens if I don't wake up. And they'll lie about it that they don't, and I'm not religious, and yeah, yeah, yeah. But I guarantee you in the corner in the back in the dark, and now he's 84, he's wondering what happens that morning when they don't wake me up. Where do I go? Do I get to live again? Am I just going to be in a box of dirt somewhere? Am I soon going to be forgotten like everybody else? What's next? Somebody help me. And if it didn't work, it wouldn't have been around for 2,000 years. So these are out on the table there. You take some that you want and a couple of handfuls, whatever you want, and give them out and practice. Give them to your own family till you practice. I don't care. But just learn to do it just like it's going to get you a Coke. I'm going to get one where it just comes out of you. That's just part of who you are. That's just what you do. And isn't it funny that everybody's willing to tell you, hey, good to see you. I'm in the insurance business right off front. But you won't find a Christian that'll say, hey, how you doing? By the way, I'm going to heaven when I die. How about you? You ever heard anybody say such an obnoxious thing to not politically correct, intolerant thing? As to try, and people tell us, we got people in the White House or mixed up crazy house, whatever it is now, we got who want to say we are giving out hate speech because we want to keep people out of hell. Now, you really got to be stupid to understand that sentence, don't you? And I don't care who you vote for or whatever, but I was glad I was trying to find a political ad on TV the other day. I mean, you know, where did the programs go? And here they are. But this time around, I've never heard Jesus Christ mentioned this in a presidential election as I have, and I'm really glad to do that. Some of them quoting scripture, some of them, you know, saying what they'll do, don't care what everything else is. I'm a Christian, I'm going to do this, blah, 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 because we are under attack by our own government, who wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. That's why those people came across the ocean, was to get under out from under the repression of the Catholic Church. And they wanted a place where they could worship God in their own way and be free to do it. We have that, or at least we did. They'll stop you now from doing that if they can. And we got surprises for them. I mean, we got a room full of people here in a saloon and dance hall, whatever this place is. And wait till this summer. They think they're building a bandstand. They're building an outdoor evangelistic pulpit. I came down Main Street the other day. You can see that thing from the top of Main Street. I said, all right, there will be. There will be. Won't that be good? Everybody, a crowd will gather up, and we'll put 17-year revival, come 10, you know. And we'll get some people in here in the summer that before the Lord comes, and we'll get them saved. That's the only reason we're here. We've been studying Romans. If you brought your Bible, we're still in chapter 1. And we're talking about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was Jewish. And in fact, if you read on through some of the books he was used to write, the Bible was written not by Paul or Peter or Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. The Bible was written by the Holy Spirit of God. He guided what he wanted said through those people using their personality, their situation. And he said, I don't see how they could do that. You don't see much of nothing. You're about as dumb as I am. Mike Perry, my good friend, who just gave me that car out there, told me on the phone, said, Beaver, I was reading the other day, and they found out that the human mind can contain what would fit in 20,000 file cabinets. That's a lot of information in it. And I'm still asking, did you want butter with that bread, honey? I'm going to the store. You know, can you imagine? Bible told you that before Mike called and said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It is incredible when you get into a study of you can think and that moves that thumb. And if you don't think, it won't move. I mean, how do it know? Right? How do we know to walk and stop when we get to the wall? How are there 40,000 rods in your eye that aren't attached to anything? They're just in a cone shape and they just stay there. I mean, it is miraculous, and God did it how? With his nutty buddy set. Give me some clay there. I'll make one. Are you going to believe the power of God? Or are you going to believe the stupidity of man? That's what it comes down to. And Paul said, look, he got saved. He dropped out of the Jewish religion. The Lord called him on the road to Damascus. And he was getting tired of Paul bringing Christians back. And some of them going to the Colosseum. Others being killed and put in prison and made slaves and all that. And Jesus got tired of it. And to be nice, he knocked him off his donkey. Okay, and he said, what in the world's going on? And he looked up and said, it was brighter than the noonday sun, the light I saw. He's in Arabia. We just think we get sunshine. You look in the noonday sun in Arabia, you go blind if you don't look at it alone. And he saw that thing and asked the question, said, who's talking to me? What's going on? And Jesus said, it's me. Why are you fooling with me, boy? Why are you aggravating me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I can do to you? That's between the lines reading of what you read in your King James Version. And Paul got converted. Now, when he got converted, he did what we are supposed to do, and that's why I got more of these and teaching you how to give them out. We need to give out about 200 of those in this area, in the area we're from around here, a week at least. Everywhere. Good night. See? And you say, well, it would embarrass. I know you have been beaten down to sit down, shut up. We're brought up to do exactly what will cause you to fail. Don't speak unless you're spoken to. Yeah, that's the way to learn something. Right? Just sit down and shut up. Well, how will I ever learn if I don't ask questions? If we want anything out of you, we'll ask. You can go for years for somebody to ask for your opinion. Right? And everything they teach us is backward and upside down. But Paul got the message in verse 16 in chapter 1. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. This is the good news we talk about. Gospel means good news. We're the only one who has it. No other so-called religion in the world has the good news. They have nowhere for you to go. There's no way for them to save you, your soul. There's no way for them to forgive your sin. And we got a crazy group now, pathological killers, telling people if they'll blow themselves up in the name of Allah, they get to go to paradise. Number one, Allah is not God. Number two, paradise is heaven and belongs to Christians because Jesus Christ made it. And number three is, if you want me to blow myself up to go to paradise, preacher, why don't you do it first? Show me how. Isn't that wonderful? Nobody ever asked one of those towel heads how to get to heaven and says, well, why don't you do it first? Or at least get in the car and do it with me. We can go together. Won't that be wonderful? See, boy, that'll get them out of ministry in a hurry, won't it? Tell you the truth, see? So the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, contains the power of God. We don't understand the full power of God and never will. Do you understand everything you see, hear, touch, or smell? That ocean out there that moves at His command, every fish in it and whatever else is in it, stars by the billions of galaxies, we don't even know how many. All of this was made by the power of God, and He spoke it into existence. Oh, well, I can't believe that. Yeah, well, you got 19,000 file cabinets to go. That's why. It's not the Bible that's wrong. It's you, the stupid. Not hard to figure out. Just read the Bible. It'll make you feel so dumb you won't know what to do. To everyone that believeth, what does believe mean? Oh, I believe there was a man called Jesus. Won't help you. I believe he was a preacher. He was, and a good one. Won't help you. I believe He existed. I mean, don't tell me it wasn't Jesus. I believe as much as you do. I'm talking about to everyone that believeth. That is, who puts their trust and faith in Him. Plus nothing, minus nothing. No rituals will help you. If you want rituals that help you along in your faith, that's fine and all, but they won't save you. I gave a fellow one of our crosses the other day, had a little word with him, and he said, yes. Said, well, I appreciate that, said, but it won't get you to heaven. I said, the man that was on it will. And he said, yes, you're right. So we didn't have to go any further with him, but he understood. But believing in Jesus Christ is not just acknowledging an historical character walked this planet. Believing in Him is putting is pistuo in the Greek, and it means total reliance on. It's not a confession that He lived, it's a commitment of your life to Him. And if you may be here this morning and you got more of those medals, for going to Sunday school that you hump over when you walk, that ain't gonna help you. Well, I've had communion 436 times. Won't help you. I've been baptized 3 times. I don't care. Yeah, I was baptizing people out here one summer. The guy drowned 200 yards up the place there. Yeah, didn't help. Baptism service didn't help him any. He ought to be in Bermuda about now. See? He shouldn't have been up there. He should have been down here. You see, he was at the wrong place. You can be at the very wrong place at the very wrong time. That is, without Christ when you die, wherever you are. Over. Over. And then they'll start. Well, my God, your God don't count. The God of the Bible counts. The God that you've made up in your head can't help you. Because you'll eliminate all the things you do. Isn't sin right there below what you do? Aren't the bad sins, just right below what you do? Yeah, me too, right? Well, cheating on your taxes, that can't be a sin. That's just being cautious. No. See, I'm telling you the truth. The truth hurts. It hurts me too. So Paul said, I'm going to tell people about it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So he took out and started doing it. And he said, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That means the Jews thought everybody who wasn't a Jew was a barbarian. Just like that group today. They call us the infidels. They're cutting the heads off babies, raping and killing women. They're crucifying Christians by the hundreds and by the thousands. And they have killed over 3 million in the name of their loving God. Somebody's confused. Not me. He said, Paul said, but regardless of them, I'm in debt to them, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. And then he begins to condemn sin. Now, you have preachers, and you know, all they do is condemn sin. Well, we'll forgive them and hope they can expand a little bit. But they say, well, why does Paul do it? I start reading Romans, and I know this came through Paul, and I know he was a brilliant man. But the first few chapters, he's so condemnatory. He condemns us, so I hate to get through it. And I really hate when our preacher preaches on it because, you know, truth hurts. He even mentioned what I do in there. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And you read and see what sin does and how Paul condemns you for it. Start at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So men are subject to God's wrath because they're ungodly. I was thinking this week, getting ready to preach with you and study the scriptures with you, I said everything you see on television, all the music, country music as well as the rock and roll, and who are the metalheads? I ran across them the other day. Is that an outlandish group? Whew! You start hearing all that, and I noticed every song was about fornication, getting drunk, leaving your wife, getting somebody else's wife, stealing something. All the songs are about sin, except those you hear in church. And that's what we are drumming into our head every day. All the kids do it, drumming into their head. Well, won't you stop that, Mom? Well, that's what he likes. I don't care what he likes. He might like Hershey bars. Is that all you're going to feed him? I've done it several times, been to the grocery store, obviously, and who laughed? it was Billy, Bill Darling. And there'll be a little brat in the middle of the aisle on his back like a roach, kicking and screaming. And I'm bad not to mind my own business. And I said, are you his mother? Well, yes. I said, why do you let him do that in public? Well, I've tried to stop him, and he just won't listen. And I said, let me help you. I'm a preacher. I'm not going to hurt you, little boy. He's not in any danger, okay? Right now, he's over there wailing and hollering, and he's hoping I'll tell him not to, too, so he can do it at me. You walk down to the meat counter then, take a left, and get out of sight. And as soon as he finds out you're gone, he'll shut up. Because he'll find out he's on his own, that he's helpless, that there's nothing he can do, and his lifeline is gone. Just do it. And if you see one doing that, don't kick him. I was tempted. He'll stop that. Why? Somebody put a stop to it. That's why. Now, you're going to find out in a minute the things that we do, and I have to include myself because I might not do some of them now, and I might. You don't know. Like that comedian said y'all saw the other night. You don't know. God knows. And when I do something, I'm very, very careful nowadays, especially when you're getting close to 80. At that minute, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry for that. I know all my sins are taken care of and forgiven, but the Bible said to constantly repent is what the words mean. Constantly repent. My sins have been washed away. But when I do something I shouldn't, I say all the time, Lord Jesus, forgive me for that. I knew better. Continually wash my sins in your blood. Not a one-time thing. Continually do it. And keep me as close to you as I can be. I'm not very bright. I'm not very good. I can't be perfect. And I'll try to do better, but you're going to have to help me. So, Paul sees it this way. He said, look, you're subject to God's wrath. Do you know most people, including most Christians, don't really understand the power of that subject? Just real quiet sometime in the dark, in the back, you and God get together and said, do you mean you would pour your wrath out on me? And you'll hear a little voice inside your belly button say, yeah. Yeah. Because we're going to read here in a minute, in three different instances, God also gave them up, it says. You mean you can get saved and get lost again? No. No. But if you aren't saved, you're going to have a bunch of trouble getting there the older you get, because you're going to fall deeper in love with that which you like, most of which is sin. We enjoy that. People said, well, sin's awful. Yes, awful fun. Said, well, I didn't know. I've never seen anybody who said sin was fun. Then you were doing it wrong. Y'all like that. Yeah, she's been doing it with these people who are laughing. They enjoy it as well. But once you understand there's a penalty for that, and the penalty is hell, and the penalty is the wrath of God being poured out on you forever, it'll cut your activity down just a bit. If you don't, then he'll say, is that really the way you want it? Fine, have it your way. C.S. Lewis once said, in the end, it will be this. God will say unto you, thy will be done. Or you will say unto him, thy will be done. You better find out which one you're living with. Because your way won't work. And most of Christianity today is based on be good, act right, and everything will be okay. You don't need a big church for that. You need a Boy Scout hut. You learn all that at the Boy Scouts. Be good, act right, don't cross on the red light, and everything will be all right. Or you can go to 32,000 people and meet with them in Texas. Joel Osteen, 32,000 people at charge. Isn't that something? Let me give you the whole of his message, okay, real quick. God's good, you're good, I'm good, let's go home and be good. 32,000 people come to hear that? Yeah, he stretches it out some, but that's what you hear. And you tune in, and I say, well, I'll listen to this young evangelist, see what he's got to say. 40, 50 years old, that's young to me. And he'll start preaching on something. I saw one from Argentina, Australia. Oh, big hall full of people. It's only ever said people everywhere. And he starts with his microphone and no Bible. Where's your Bible? Well, you know, I preach. Now, if you're not preaching the Bible, you're not preaching. Just go on home. There's nothing worth hearing in so-called religion that doesn't come out of this book. Everything else is just religion. By the way, our blessed government, well, we're never going to stop people because of their religion. Why not? The pathological fools are going to hell. They're coming to kill you, and you don't want to stop them? Religion is made up by man. Christianity is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion has sent more people to hell than anything I can think of. Giving false information about how to get to paradise, how to do this. Books out. God will make you wealthy. I had one friend, he had a shelf of books on how to get into God's treasure chest, how to open God's bank, all about money, all about money. I said, why don't you read the book, boy? Read what God says about that. We're glad to have money. We hope you'll give some. Matter of fact, give a lot. Okay? But we get people who think, really, that their status in the society decides whether they go Christian or not, whether they're good enough or not. You'll never be good enough to go to heaven. Only God was good enough to go to heaven. He's the only one. He let you in because he felt sorry for you. And he took your sins and put him on himself. And the Bible explains it by saying when he did that, his righteousness, his rightness, his justness, his perfection was put on you. You really want to blow your mind and know who you are when you get saved? We're not to brag about it. We didn't have nothing to do with it. He had something to do with it. Everything to do with it. But when you became a Christian and repented of your sin, turned your life, committed your life to Christ, his righteousness was placed on you. When God the Father takes your old name and says, Larry Hall, angel, give me that sheet on Larry. Whoo! God, how thick is that book? The bad one here, isn't it? And they said, yes, sir, but read the last page. Okay. Accepted Christ as his Savior when he was 62. And all his sins are gone. If you'd like a picture of him, Father, it's all red. We don't know what he looks like. He's just covered in the blood of your Son. All we can see is his righteousness. We find no fault in him. You mean you got that way by yourself, son? It was because of your righteousness you get to dwell in the presence of God Almighty? I don't think so. It was because of the righteousness of Christ, Paul says, that was given to you freely. It's a gift. Can't earn it. Can't buy it. Can't be good enough. Can't give out enough coins. I feel so sorry. They folks down from our condo, bless their heart, the good Mormon people, educated, clean, fine fellows. They'll see me struggling with the groceries or something, and they'll say, can I help you carry that upstairs, sir? As nice as they can be, insulting me like that. All right. But how nice of them to think I can't carry a bag of groceries. And I want to say, son, I can carry the groceries and you upstairs, you know. But they're working their way to heaven. And they used to knock on our door. We have an X on our door now that they put there that they don't come by anymore. And but they honestly believe the better they get, that they have to be better tomorrow than they were today and better until they reach perfection and working themselves to death to do it. And there's no reward in what they do because they fail to tell you you must forgive, have your sins forgiven, repent, and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. They don't mention that. Then all you're doing is busting up your knuckles and wasting your breath. But they're so sincere. Sincerity, you know, won't get you to heaven. They're so kind. Kindness won't help. Well, they're so educated. That won't help you at all. Some of the smartest seminary preachers I know are going straight to hell because they don't believe in the Bible. We've gone crazy, Paul says. I'm reading this. He said, I'm not ashamed. Well, we're not going to be ashamed. And we talked about the invisible things last week. And 22, I like, men become prideful and turn away from God, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. Pardon me. Now, Paul is saying he's brilliant. This was written 2,000 years ago. And I said, wait a minute. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Well, I thought all that was kind of new, you know, the men getting married to men. I went to Greenville, my hometown, and this week, met with some friends and saw the old First Baptist Church downtown. I don't know what to use it for now, but like large cities, you know, those churches are they're gone. But they have a brand new multi-million dollar Baptist church here. It's 20 years old. That's new to me. and they got thousands of members. And I found out that now they have openly said they are willing to marry men to men and women to women. They'll have a homosexual pastor and think nothing about it. And you can just leave us alone. That's the way we believe, and that's the way it's going to be. Now, this is a Southern Baptist church. One of the biggest Southern Baptist churches at the buckle of the Bible Belt. We're called the Bible Belt, did you know, the South. Greenville, South Carolina is the buckle of the Bible Belt. If you get hit by another car, chances are a preacher was driving it in Greenville. I mean, we got some religion in Greenville, see. You see? But look what Paul says about these people. God gave them up. Why? They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Well, I don't know anybody who worships the creature. Yeah, you do. The new house, the new car, the new job, the new money, the better college, the better friends. You worship the creature. Miss Universe, yeah. I won't tell your wife that your TV changer got stuck on that channel if you won't tell mine. Okay. Yeah. We know. We worship the creature, don't we? We don't worship the Creator who made everything. Now, that ocean is something to see, isn't it? And the fish in it, and the stuff in it, and it'll drive you crazy knowing a little bit about it. I said, well, the water out here is cold. Put your foot in there. It's cold. The deeper you go, colder it gets. But you can get way, way out in that ocean, go down about 6 miles. Imagine such a thing. And the pressure will crush a submarine. He can't go. Solid steel. But he can't go. The pressure would just crush him like a can. Nothing can live down there under that pressure. It's too cold to live, except they sent a little new thing down there to inspect the bottom of the ocean that can stand the pressure. And they came upon a spring in the ocean of hot water. And I asked Brother Barry at Carlisle, runs a fish place down here, owned it for years. He can fry a fish now. I said, what do you fry a fish at? What temperature? He said, 350. You'll fry anything that'll fry a brick. I mean, 350 is 350, right? Little fish were swimming around the opening to that water spring. They tested it, and it was 550 degrees. How can they live there? You're supposed to fry at 350. Not if God doesn't want you to, and that's His ocean. He'll decide what happens in His ocean. He'll decide what happens in His world. He'll decide what happens in your life. And He will decide what happens in your death. So God gave these people up who changed the truth of God to a lie. Verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, better known as lesbianism. Now how can the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, marry two women? To each other, or two men to each other. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now that's old English wording. New English wording. Because those homosexuals decide to do what God told them not to do, recompense, their payment for doing that of their error was completed. In other words, they will catch AIDS. Well, I didn't know AIDS was in the Bible. Mark that for yourself. It's exactly what it means. You go against what God said, you will pay the bill. And you'll pay it in full. Well, our preacher said in the modern day, your preacher is probably one of them then. Marrying two women to each other. Marrying two men to each other. You imagine such a thing? But you see, when we allow it a little, then it becomes, well, that's all right. Then it becomes, well, and I love the title of that TV show. I don't watch it, but you got to get the titles when you're flipping through. The New Normal. There's no new normal. Normal set by God. Anything against what he said is not new normal. It is abnormal. Well, I have a brother. Well, your brother's going to hell. Witness to him and get him saved and get him out of that mess. And there's Christian people who'll tell me that, well, you see, my uncle, your uncle's going to hell, honey. If you want to help him, tell him. Well, he'll get mad. You think he's mad now? Let him get in hell and find out you didn't tell him. Use your head. Use your head. It's not hate speech when I tell you you're going to hell. I'm from the Red Cross. I came to help you. A train's coming, son. You're sitting on a railroad track. It's going to bust your guts open. Get up! Is that a hate speech? That's safe speech, is it not? It may hurt your ears to hear it that way, but you heard it, didn't it? You heard it. My mama told me, I'll never remember the poem, and Jack found the original writer, and he corrects me. I hate that when he does that. But she taught me when I was a little boy, and I try to remember, it's been a long time ago. It says, sin is a monster of such evil mien, but to be hated is but to be seen. But seen too often, familiar with his face, first we endure, then what, Jack? No, that's last. First we acknowledge it, then we put up with it, and then we embrace it. That's exactly what we've done. See, most people in here of some age, or you dyed your hair white, right? And when you were in high school even, nobody talked about homosexuality. Nobody discussed it. It was too disgusting to discuss. It just wasn't a subject you talked about. You just didn't do that. Now it's thrown at you from everywhere on TV, right? Well, now acceptable. Well, he has a right to do what he wants to do. No, he doesn't. He has a right to abide by the word of God or go to hell. That's his rights. Those are yours and those are mine. You see? And these people throw it in our face. Now you are condemned if you don't go along with it. We have a Supreme Court, they call themselves. They don't understand. They're not giving us their full title. Their full title is the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The Supreme Court will be held in the air. And the Supreme Judge, not nine of them, the Lord Jesus Christ will do the judging. And he can't be persuaded and he can't be bought and he doesn't care what the political party thinks. He's going to go by this. And that's all he's going to go by. And a lot of people think they're, well, you know, God's a forgiving God, not for certain things. Well, my brother is a homosexual, and now he's got saved and he's quit all that. Is he lost? No, not if he got saved. Well, he's still, you know, I said, is he an active homosexual? I said, no. As long as he's not active, so don't get confused there. If you have one leg when you get saved, it ain't going to grow another leg. You're just a one-legged man saved now. All right, same with that. God forgives it. God forgives it. However, if you won't accept his forgiveness, what does it say? He gave them up. He said, you wanted it that way? Have it that way. That really what you want, Freddie? All right. Good to have known you, man. You mean God? That's what the book said. All right. We're about ready to go home. And even if they did not, he gave them up. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They don't want you thinking about God. They've thrown God out of schools. Can't do that. It was almost humorous. It hadn't been so sad when that idiot killed little children, 6 years old, broke in their school and shot those little kids. Man, he doesn't need a trial. He needs a bullet, right? And here he is killing those little children for no reason other than his insanity. Why would a man do such a thing? Because he has a reprobate mind. What does that mean? Go on to verse 29. He's filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. Wait a minute, am I still reading the Bible or is that the Detroit newspaper page? Maybe it's the Charlotte News. Maybe it's the Sun News. 2,000 years ago and we still getting the same report on people? That's a reprobate mind. We are a reprobate country. How sad. And all of this you can get a license to do, you know. Well, they have a license. The license don't mean anything. There's your license. We're in a mess. No politician, no political party, no election of any particular man is going to solve the mess we are in. The only thing that will straighten out what's happened to America is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing. And thank God, I believe that's going to be soon. That's good. And without understanding, we know the crazy. Without natural affection, what does that mean? We just read that. How do you fall in love with a man if you're a man? You know, years ago, I used to say, yeah, let them have them all. Leaves more girls for me. Implacable and unmerciful. You want to know where abortion is in the Bible? Underline that. Son, when you take a baby who's born and his little legs and arms are moving and you put him on a table to die, that's not showing much mercy, is it? My precious brother's wife, Sylvia, nurse, anesthesiologist. And she gets to sign, she's retired now, but she have a policy thing, some of you nurses know. She gets to tell them what she will and won't do. before she accepts the job. And if it had abortion in it, she'd say, "No, I don't do any. I don't do that." And I said, "Sylvia, how bad is it, honey?" She said, "You stand there and watch a pregnant woman on a table, and the doctor takes a vacuum hose and sucks a baby out of her piece by piece. And you watch little feet and little hands go up that vacuum. You'll know what it means to be unmerciful." And do you think the Lord God Almighty doesn't see that? Somebody told me the other day who knew about those things, said, "Beaver, in some of the clinics, I've seen them come in and go back out within 5 minutes. Come in, get on the table, get rid of the buddy, and out the door. In 5 minutes, just like they came in to use the bathroom." I said, "You got to be kidding." He said, "No." And your government and my government gives those people $500 million a year to continue in what they're doing. You think God's going to wink at this country? I think it's about time to reach for the trumpet. Say, "Come here, boy. Call that angel." I said, "Blow that thing. Shoot! We'll be out of here." You mean believe that with all my heart and all my soul? I've seen too much of this come true not to. I've seen too many miracles. I don't mean, bless his heart, Oral Roberts heal somebody. I'm talking about honest to goodness. There's no answer to this problem but God miracles. You keep praying for Frankie. And pray for Bradley. Pray for some of our folks here who have cancer. Others, Mary Boyle's watching us now, I'm sure. Other families write us or through the email thing and say we are their church. We're the only church they have. And they watch us. They gather the family around their television set and get their Bible out and they're at church with us. We appreciate every one of them. Some have been saved by watching what we do here. That's all credited to you. Did you know that? God keeps that score too. You can't do anything small for God. Nothing. Used to be a little old lady, bless her heart. I got to quit saying that. I'm a little old man. She's a little old lady, and she came here for years. And I'd see the briefcase and go home and get it all together, and there was always a white envelope in there. And there was nothing written on it, but I knew where it came from and knew what was in it. Every Sunday, she didn't have a job. She wasn't a wealthy widower. But every Sunday, there'd be $2 in that envelope. And somebody said, "Why don't you give that back to her?" No, she gave it to God. She didn't give it to me, not mine. I saw Harold Seitler, one of my favorite preachers in the world. By the way, I passed your house Monday. Saw Harold Seitler, a little old lady tottered down after the service. And those of you who are my age or, you know, quit lying about it, at least close. You've seen your grandmama have a pretty little napkin, a little handkerchief. You've seen them with the little flowers. And she'd put 10 or 12 cents in there in the corner. And then they'd tie a knot around it where they wouldn't lose it. And they'd bring it to church. And she'd bring it to Harold Seitler every Sunday. 10 cents, 11 cents, whatever. And I wondered, so, "Harold, don't take 11 cents from that little old lady," till I found out He said, don't rob that little lady of her blessing. She was doing all she could for a God that had done all he could for her. Now she's probably with him face to face. She was old when she came here. No such thing as a small thing done for God. So you do that. Give out your coins. Invite some people to work, to come to church, friends, neighbors. Give them these things. Let them understand God loves them too. And but for the grace of God, there go I, lost, undone, closer to 100 than I am to 50. I'm glad I've got a Savior. If you don't this morning, as we pray and sing, can we do it, Johnny, with the technology we got there? You just pray, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Those watching by webcam, you can do it wherever you are. And today I want to commit my life to you. I want to know for sure that when I close my eyes for the last time or when you come for your people, that I'm in. I'm with you. I want to know. And he will do what he did for Paul and what he did for you and me, my dad, Billy Graham, Bob Jones, Harold Seitler, son, the best of America, America doesn't even know about. They're preachers and teachers and Sunday school teachers and little old ladies with 11 cents who keep the word of God going out. So we want to be part of that. Thank you for coming today. Hope you learned something. If nobody's hugged you, just grab somebody on the way out. It's all right. We're family, and we love you because God told us to. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good you are. Any need we have, you fill. You send people by who need a Savior, and we do our best to tell them it's you. May the Holy Spirit of God take the words of you, the words of Paul, and apply them to somebody's heart today, whether here or watching by the web. And they turn their life around and give their soul to you. And they ask for forgiveness, repent of their sins, and then they can claim you as Lord and Savior. And there's no greater reward than that. Be with us this week. Touch those among us who are weak physically. Help us who are weak spiritually. Help us to do more, to invite more people to become a child of the living God. In Christ's name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, took my place.
victories God has won. Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner.